Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Ha! Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar. My plantain sugar, my plantain sugar, my plantain sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. It is I, your host, Tosin, alongside my esteemed, wonderful co-host and my wonderful brothers, Dean and Coach. How y'all doing today, fellas?
I'm doing fantastic. That's fantastic.
Shut the fuck up, man. Stop lying to these people. You went to the stadium and watched Arsenal lose. How the fuck are you doing fantastic? Which drugs are you doing? Let me get those drugs.
I'm fortunate enough to be sporty enough to be upset at that. So that's why I'm looking at perspective.
Fair enough.
That's the best thing you can do.
Oh no, man! That second goal went in, and I had a headache, and the headache hasn't left since. So they got to beat Bayern to save me.
In fact, I am pissed off because I didn't get to actually speak my thoughts on the Arsenal pod. If anybody requests enough, I don't know if anybody wants to know my thoughts. I don't mind doing something for you guys, but I doubt it's going to be anything interesting. I'm just going to be crying most of the time. So.
Wow. Thank you for the therapy session. Also, thank you to Believe Network. Once again, we are on Believe Network, so shout out to them. Thank you, guys. And also, we're on YouTube now. Baltimore accent just came out. Jesus Christ. But yeah, we're on YouTube now. So, you know, if you guys want to see our beautiful, wonderful Yoruba faces, you can also do that. If you want to hear our wonderful Yoruba voices, you can do that too on the podcast. So let us start over in Germany. I had to take a pause because I'm so excited to talk about this. Leverkusen is over. You can never ever say that about them ever again. It is done. By Leverkusen beat Werder Bremen 5-0. The champions in waiting, they clinched today. They'd already know that they were going to win, but you know, big shout to Xabi Alonso. The work he's done at the Bayern and what he's done with that team is amazing. Victor Boniface, you know, our guy, scored a penalty. He's been amazing for him since he came in, came back from injury. Xhaka had a banger. Florian Wirtz, a hat trick. Just amazing. Two questions for you guys, though, fellas. Do you think, one, they will go undefeated in the rest of the season in the Bundesliga? Dean is going through it right now. I think that Emery hijacked this. Okay, cool.
He's back.
Oh, hello. Where are we talking about Leverkusen? Now Leverkusen?
What I was saying is, like, you know, my two questions for you guys is, do you think they will go undefeated the rest of the season? And second of all, do you think that they will, I guess, repeat next year? That's my main questions for y'all right now.
I think they will go unbeaten, and I hope they do. Dean, I'll let you follow up the other question. But just a word on that. I feel like this is one of the most. It might go under the radar, but I genuinely think it's one of the most impressive league wins of the modern era for any league at all. Like, we can't let it go under the radar what Xabi Alonso has done. They weren't title contenders the season before. They'd never won it before. And he's literally made them one of the most impressive Bundesliga sides of all time. Like, they go straight up against any one of the Bayern sides, basically, in terms of what they've done. It's unprecedented. So they deserve massive props. When you're talking about, Bayern Munich 2013, we need to be talking about Bayer Leverkusen 2024 as well, because in terms of domestically, they look like a completely and utterly different league to them, to be honest.
Do you think, that which one is more impressive to you, Leicester or this?
Leicester, I'll tell you why Leicester's more impressive, because I think they were 5,000 to 1 and they didn't have players like, they had Mahrez and Vardy, cool, but they didn't have players like, you know, Xhaka had already been in the title race, do you know what I mean? Like, look at the defenders, some of the defenders that was at the AFCON, you know, Boniface, Verts, these are some, there's gems all over the pitch, do you know what I mean? And then they have a very talented young manager. They went in there with a dollar and a dream and a man that got labelled the Tinker Man, you know, by the British media. You know, he'd never won a league title in England before. He was basically the most outsider of all outsiders. So, yeah, I still give it to Leicester. But in terms of the actual dominance and quality of the sides, there's only one winner here. It's Bayer Leverkusen by a gazillion miles.
I agree. As for Tosin's question as to whether they'll repeat next season, well, we need to answer a different question first. We need to see what Bayern does. Once we know what Bayern does, once they get a coach and they get through their transfer business, then we can call it. I think if they don't lose more than two members of their core, if they keep Verts, if they keep Frimpong, which is looking kind of shaky because I know he was at the City Academy and they're sniffing around him again.
Yeah.
If they can keep the core together, I think they can definitely go close against Bayern next season.
Sorry to get a bit nerdy here, but I don't think he should go see. I don't think he's even a good fit because he's not a right back.
No, you
know, he's very much a wing back / winger. So, any City fan calling for him to come in and replace Kyle Walker, I cannot wait to see how he does against actual wingers in the Premier League that will attack the shit out of him day in, day out. So yeah, maybe that's not who you want for your right back spot unless you're going to change formation.
My thing is, on Frimpong is that I don't trust Dutch players or Dutch managers ever again. I am burnt out from them. I grew up on Dutch players and Dutch managers in the 90s. I do not trust them. What if you just say, we still don't trust you? Yeah, I don't trust you. So absolutely not. Not a single Dutch footballer I trust, especially that number, the pie. I don't trust him especially. But that's another story for another situation. But big shout out to Zabi, man. They've done a great job over there. And it's just impressive. The thing that made me laugh and made me so smile in my living room was watching Verts and just scoring a hat trick. And the referee had nothing to do but blow the whistle because the fans were just like, yo, fuck it. We're storming the field. We're like, we're out. They tried it like when he scored his second goal. They tried like to storm the field a little bit. They kind of like pushed them back. But after that third goal went in, the referee's like, you know what? It's over, man. Let them celebrate. Let them do what they want to do. We have two. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love that they named the path. I don't know if I missed this when I was doing my technical issues, but they named the path leading up to the stadium after the manager already. That's pretty cool.
That's incredible.
That's amazing. And the last
one more thing. We have to shout out Granit Xhaka. Genuinely, we have to shout out Granit Xhaka because his career path and what he's had to face in England, for him to do what he's done, to be essentially the main man in midfield for me, he is like the system for them essentially in midfield. And the first attempt, you know, a team that's never won, that doesn't have the experience of winning a league title before, you know, he made them tick. You know, that free, we all agreed, Dean. Remember, like, some of Xhaka's best football came for Arsenal in what? A 3-4-3, if you remember correctly. and he went and done it again. And this time he actually got a league title out of it. I honestly, I really, really just respect and love Granit Xhaka.
Better than Kante.
The last thing before we talk about Leverkusen, they had two Nigerian national players on their team, by the way. Nathan Teller picked the one base. So, again, Nigeria never carry last. Let's talk about Bayern Munich and Cologne. Thomas Muller kept his annual Bundesliga scoring streak going. Kingsley Coman is out with a thigh injury, and Kingsley Coman is also out of winning a league title for like the 16th time in a row, whatever the hell it was. This is a so-so performance with them. They already lost their title, so, you know, the only thing they got looking forward to is Arsenal. Arsenal lost, and Bayern, you know, are hobbling. So, you guys, I'm leaving it to you. Who's the favorite for that game between Bayern and Arsenal? You guys talk to me.
I'd rather just say that I hope both teams stay healthy after that. That's what I can say because it's looking very, very quiet for everybody is what I'll say right now. But you never know. It's Champions League. You never know.
Yeah, I express my opinions on the Arsenal pod. So if you want to hear them, go listen to them over there.
Fair enough. Let's talk about Stuttgart. They beat Frankfurt 3-0. Garassi and Undav again for the 13th place. Which one of these guys would be a risk? Like, which one would you guys take if you were a big team? And I already got my answer. Okay.
I'm taking Garassi because I've seen Undav in the Premier League already. And sometimes a league just isn't meant for you, which is fair enough. I'm taking Garassi.
Yeah. So basically, you're just taking Garassi because you haven't seen him anywhere else.
Basically, yeah.
No, I said ignorance is bliss.
I respect it. I'm taking Garassi. I think that United definitely need another striker. They need, I don't know how to say in English, I'm saying Yoruba, they need an agbalagba. They need a grown man in the room. And Garassi's, you know, it's a grown man. So I think that he'll be all right. So, but you never know. You never know. So it's always a risk. So what about you, Dean?
I don't particularly care. Like, I don't particularly care. Neither one of these motherfuckers is good enough to be at my club. That's how I feel about it. So,
fair enough. Let's talk about Leipzig and Wolfsburg. Another strike partnership shines. Danny Olmo is doing their thing. They won again. So, you know, fair enough to Leipzig. They're doing their thing. There's nothing really much to, like, really add or take away from Leipzig. You know, they are who they are. Gladbach and Dortmund. I guess Dortmund are just winning. They made it hard for themselves. Karim Adeyemi decided to go full Gidibo and just hurt somebody and got a red card. So there's that. And Sabitzer scored a double. So, you know, that's that. Let's look at the Bundesliga.
Real quick before we move on. Sabitzer, do you think it would have been helpful for you guys at United this season?
No. Nobody's helpful for United. Let's just move on. Let's look at the Bundesliga. Look, we got a little cool functions now, guys. Let's look at the Bundesliga table. Leverkusen is in first, champions, obviously 79 points, and counting. Bayern Munich are in second with 63. Obviously, the goal difference is a lot superior. 13 more goals. They have 46. Stuttgart has 33. So Stuttgart are third with 63. Leipzig follow in fourth with 56. Dortmund are there with 56 points, and Frankfurt are in sixth and rounded out at 42 points. So yes, looking like the Bundesliga is kind of coming to an end. So it's just about this point, just Champions League places for them. So y'all got anything else you're going to add before we move on out of Germany?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Coach is shy today. I don't know what's going on with him over there, but, you know, he'd be
having technical difficulties. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Let's talk about Serie A. The Turin Derby was 0-0. It was a bit of a draw. Bored draw, actually. That's how bored I am of that game. Vlahovic was wayward with his finishing. Allegri, you know, he's excited when he gets these boring draws. That's his thing. That's what Allegri likes to do. That's his thing, so whatever. Milan and Sassuolo. I want to add quickly before we, like, dive deep. Whoever gets Lloriente is going to get a gem. I like that guy. He's really, really good. But Milan had to come back from 2-0 down to 2 to being down 3-2 to salvage a point. Like we mentioned, Lloriente was the best winger in the game. And that was a game that had Liao, Pulisic, and Chukwueze. So good for him. He did very well. Noah Okafor's finish was very impactful. That was a very just...
Yeah, it got them finish. The point. It got them the point. So, yeah, very impactful for real.
That was it. Napoli, Frosinone 2-2. Napoli just... Every week is just shenanigans with them. But at least Osimhen scored this week. But...
Yeah, he got outdueled by a really shitty Moroccan footballer named Walid Chadira, a guy that Coach and I do not fucking rate. But
goodness sake. Oh, man.
Coach, talk to us.
I really, really thought I was good at this guy. Do you know, there's certain footballers, right, that you just have in your mind as someone that will never, ever change your mind. And Chadira is one of them. What I saw in that World Cup, no footballer should ever be allowed to recover from that and have an actual professional career after that. It was the most embarrassing and most disgraceful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yo, do you think it's as embarrassing as the fact that during his interview after the game, he basically sold himself to Napoli? He was like, hopefully I get to do this in a Napoli shirt next year. I'm like, bro, you don't have the minerals. Like, you're not. Just like, De Laurentiis might be crazy, but he knows a good footballer. He does. Mm. And you're not one of them, Walid. Respectfully.
Respectfully. Udinese, Roma is 1-1. Sad news, the game got suspended because Evan Ndika was collapsing the pitch. He's conscious at the hospital. His teammates joined him there. So that's good news. Currently, Inter's beating Calgary. And, you know, just is what it is with Inter, man.
Can I ask, what game week can they be crowned champions? Because it should be getting close by now, surely.
Honestly, I thought that shit was back in November, but for some reason, I don't understand how Leverkusen beat them to the punch. They've been ahead of everyone for so long. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow we got Fiorentina and Genoa, and then Atalanta versus Verona. Give you some league standings real quick, real fast, because let's do that. Inter at first, obviously, with 85 points, they're currently winning 1-0. Like we mentioned, Milan are on second place with 69. Nice points. Juventus are in third with 63. Bologna's in 59, fourth with 59. Roma are in fifth with 55. And Atalanta rounded out in sixth with 50 points. By the way, quickly, I think that Roma should keep Daniel De Rossi. I think that we talked about this last week. I think they should. I generally think they should keep him. But hey, there's smarter people than me that's in charge. So,
I mean, what's the alternative? It's not as if people are like banging on their door to get it. And he's getting the results. He's getting the results. So they might as well keep him until it goes bad. I mean, generally, why run a good thing? So,
yeah, you know, let's talk about the French league, Ligue 1. In Ligue 1 this week, we had a short week. None of the teams that we really cared about playing this weekend, but our boys Titi are losing to Lyon currently as we speak. That game might change. They might get perky and score some goals. So we're rooting for Brest. So, you know, at least Lacazette did score. It was to Clorentin Tolisso, a name that we haven't heard in years.
I would have really given up on this weekend if Lacazette ended up scoring as well. I cannot even lie. I've had an actually good weekend in general, but Lacazette might have actually just done me in like properly.
Listen, coach, this game is not even close being over, so your weekend can still get worse.
Let's talk about Ligue 1 standings. PSG, obviously, are first with 63 points. Brest are next and second with 53. Monaco are in third with 52 points. Leo are in fourth with 49 points. That did not want to leave my brain. Nice were in fifth with 44 points, and Lens rounds it out with 43 points in sixth place. I'm pretty sure Ligue 1 is wrapped up at this point for PSG. This is like the PSG Invitational sometimes for them. So,
pretty much.
Let's look at La Liga. Some action went down that league. Atletico Madrid beat Girona 3-1. Dorfvik, he opened up the scoring, and then he forgot how to finish. Atleti stormed back. Griezmann scored a brace and a headed goal from Angel Carrera. Also, we saw the dancing. You're not going to fool me.
Yeah, that shit wasn't cute, man. I'm not having that. But, I mean, oh, Lord, what is going on? I am alone on the pod, people. What am I going to do by myself? Tosin, come
talk
back.
About Griezmann, talk about Griezmann's dancing.
Oh, I'm big. Oh, okay. I see what happened here. I got surprised by this, but yeah, I just think it's really strange that Atleti fans have so much smoke for Vinicius, but when their players score goals and dance and celebrate, nobody's calling them a monkey. Like,
I've got a theory on that. I know what it is. Right? I know what it is. Oh, there's that nigga, and then there's my nigga, and we know what Griezmann is. So.
Like, nigga, why you say nigga like that, man? Don't sound right coming out your mouth, man. Don't say nigga no more on this podcast again. I don't want to hear that shit no more, you know. Like, the weirdest thing is that Angel Correa is like the shortest dude ever, and he scored a header in this game, like from across from Morata, which was just the weirdest thing ever. So Girona probably deserved to lose this game, even if they played well. They honestly probably deserve the draw, but that's neither here nor there, you know.
The Yoruba me always comes every time I hear Morata's name. In my head, it's always Morata Oshi. That's what comes out in my head every time I see him. So if you don't know what that means, I'm not going to translate it for you. Real Madrid, Mallorca was 1-0. Aurelien Tchouaméni scored a long-range banger, but it was deflected. But hey, they all count. They rested some players this week because they got to play City. Toni Kroos was on the bench with his Adi Pure. So, you know, they didn't really play much. Barcelona and Cadiz was 1-0. Yao Felix, you know, scored a nice little bicycle kick. I don't even know, like, if you want to go take a look, it was a bicycle kick, but it's so weird. But he scored, and maybe he just stayed there permanently.
I think the weird part about it was that the defender that was trying to head the ball decided to fake an injury and tried to get the goal canceled when his head wasn't even close to the guy's foot. In any event, I'm glad the goal counted because it was a good goal. And
it was so embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, people, it's weird, like, in this era of the game with VAR and cameras everywhere for defenders and just players in general to just do weird shit like that. It's like, bro, you know we can see you, right? Like,
stop literally, shit. Literally, that's what I was about to say. It's like, nigga, you know we can see you, right?
Yeah, like, it's like, remember that handball from AFCON? like everybody can see you. Like, stop this. Just play football, I beg, Jerry.
Bro, he punched it. He didn't even have all. He punched it.
Yo, coach, should Xavi keep João Felix?
Honestly, I think he was their best player yesterday, man. And I think in the Champions League as well, like from what I saw, he looked pretty good again. I think, yeah, I mean, you'll never go wrong with having good players. It's just figuring out if they're worth the risk around what else you have. But yeah, look, João Felix, maybe La Liga and this Barcelona environment is probably right for him. There's not as much, I suppose. It's still a pressure situation, but I don't feel as if he has to be the main man for them, which is good. I feel like he's an excellent player when he's part of the supporting cast. So, yeah.
Well said, coach.
Damn, he said he's a side piece. That's crazy. let's talk about Athletic Club and Villarreal. Copa del Rey winners. They shook off their hangovers. Almost won, but Dani Parejo decided, you know what? None of that. We're going to tie it 1-1. So that end game in a 1-1 Villarreal. Let's look at La Liga standings. Real Madrid are first with 78 points. Real Madrid are next and second with 70. Girona are in third with 65. Atletico Madrid are in fourth with 61. Athletic Club are in fifth with 57. And Sociedad are currently tying 1-1, and they are in sixth place with 50 points. Let's look at the next league, which is the Premier League.
Ayo.
The Premier League. Wow. We are here already.
Do we have to do this?
I mean, yeah, it's cathartic. We have to do it. Let's talk about the game that started on that really started was Tottenham losing 4-0 to Newcastle. You know what the aggregate for Newcastle and Tottenham was this season, fellas?
I don't know.
10-1.
Wow.
10-1.
Yeah.
Jason Tindall, man. He is killing Spurs. He hates Spurs. Coach, are you going to forgive this man?
No. So wait. Was it this season they beat them? No, it was last season they scored.
Yeah, the 6-1 was last season.
Yeah.
Well, I'm counting it for this season.
I'm very certain because I remember Isaac's
wait, so they haven't played. Well, wait, do they play again this season?
No, they don't.
They played the first game, but the game, the 6-1 we were talking about, was under, I think, Stellini.
Yeah, I remember because Isaac looked confused. Like, he's like, I know I'm good, but these guys are fucking shit, man. But yeah,
I think they're gonna play again this season.
No, they're not. I'm certain of it.
Would they? Like, nah, it's because home and away. Every team plays home and away, and that's it.
Yeah, cool. I just wanted more flogging for Tottenham. Sorry about that.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll tell you what's interesting though. Eddie Howe and the players, they all admitted that, look, we had to change the way we play today. And looking at the stats, I think they were 3-0 up. And by the time they were 3-0 up, they had only completed 87 passes in the entire game. Tottenham were doing the whole sort of, yeah, we're the better football inside and blah, 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 blah. And Newcastle were like, okay, we'll just take the goals then. How about that? It was very much a game of making your moments count, but Tottenham genuinely cannot defend to save their lives. It's actually embarrassing the way they deploy their fullbacks. It's not even done in a way where it's like they cover themselves in transition. They don't, because they're not even aggressive enough. They're just not. It's just leaving Isak 1v1 against two overrated centre backs. There's only ever going to be one winner every single time.
Coach, can I take it from here? Let me get the bat in real quick. Yo. Mate, let me say that because I know he understands my language. I say, mate, you have no plan B. Like, your plan A is great, but your plan B is very, very nasty work. Like, you literally cannot defend. It's basically a sexier version of what Erik ten Hag wants to do. That's literally what I'm seeing for Tottenham. Like, they somehow do well at home. They do well when they're, you know, on the front foot. But it's like when they get away, it's like they lose their minds, could keep conceding goal after goal after goal. I'm sure they've pretty much conceded as much, if not more, goals than Man United this season, which is not a good thing to be, you know, that's not good to concede more than this Manchester United side at all. So, Mickey Van de Ven, you did your best Booker T impression. You did your best, what's that movie that Chris Brown was in? That movie, you did your best crumping. So when we picking grass out your teeth,
he stomps St. James' bark. Like, yeah, bro, like, this is a whole grown man with his head inside the grass, just like, bro, like, again, we can see you. Like, the holes is watching
in 4K.
Not the holes, but the holes is watching, bro. Like, stay on your feet. Like,
yeah.
And the funniest part is the third goal, towards the end, when at the beginning of the second half, when Isaac got on that one on one again, and Van de Ven was so spooked that he was like, I'm not going to dive in. I'm not going to let him cut in. Isaac was just like, okay, cool. I'll just finish it then. It was like a game of cat and mouse. And if the cat was fucking stupid and slow and not good at football.
Yeah. But the cat is very much a very small, you know, very smart cat. So we got that. Brentford 2-0 against Sheffield United. Nice little cheeky win from them. Another Nigerian rounded up the points. Frank Onyeka scored with the goal in the 93rd minute. So good for Frank. I don't know where the hell a name Frank comes from in Nigeria, but good for him.
You acting like you didn't go to fucking Catholic school, man. Stop that shit.
Frank is not a Catholic name, my nigga.
We got colonized, nigga. What the? I gotta spell it out for you, nigga. What the fuck?
Man City beat Luton 5-1. That game was sorry, Luton.
What happened in that second half? Because I'm pretty sure the City were only still winning 1-0 in like the 60th minute.
Decided to rip the net.
No, I saw it happen. I'm literally asking you guys, what the fuck happened? Like, from 1-0 and then...
Well, Luton had defended really well throughout most of the game, and you know how that is. You play. You still play, lucky bastard. If you defend all game, you're going to get tired. You know?
Yeah. And, to be fair, they're missing a bunch of players as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They're just... I'm shocked it didn't end like 8-0, to be honest. It felt like a good game to like triple captain Erling Haaland if you play FPL, you know, so...
But he only scored one. Fellas, at least Luton can leave here and say they got a handsome manager and Ross Barkley scored a really good goal. So, you know, you got something for you. You know, you left
him. He even cupped his ears at like 3-1 down on that brother. Like,
Man, why not? Why not, though? Why not, though? Like, what the fuck else was he going to celebrate that day? Like, they didn't expect to score. I promise you that.
No. Nottingham Forest and Wolves. That was a very funny game to watch. What's it called? Got his first start. Gio Reyna got his first start. So, shout out to Gio Reyna.
USA, USA.
Kuna scored a brace. Morgan Gibbs-White scored. And shout out to Morgan Gibbs-White. I love seeing players celebrate against their old teams. I like that. That's really nice. Yeah. So he celebrated. Yeah,
there's been a bit of, I don't know, how do you guys say it over there, Coach? Needle, is it? Between like Forest and Wolves. And it's solely based on this transfer. The fact that Morgan Gibbs-White left Wolves for Nottingham Forest. And now the fans are beefing each other. And he's just jumping on as well. And he did this thing with the celebration with the ears. Cunha did it when he got the equalizer for the second goal. So it was a nice banterous game. And apparently they're friends. Everybody loves each other. So I thought it was a great game. I enjoyed watching it for sure.
Burnley Brighton was 1-1. Brighton could have, you know, not won, but that goalkeeper that Burnley had in goal, what he did. What were you?
FanDuel, DraftKings, that was gambling, man. That baseball nigga is responsible for this shit. I know it in my heart.
Can you tell me in Yoruba what he did?
Otatete.
Thank you. Man United Bournemouth. If you want to hear my thoughts and opinions on that, go listen to Man United podcast, which is out
now. I have thoughts and opinions, though.
Oh, go ahead, Coach.
You want a hater?
No, seriously. I generally think the Garnacho situation there was really poor from Ten Hag. Like, he's played every single minute, injured and uninjured, for you for God knows how many games in a row. And then to essentially say, look, I just took him off because he wasn't doing what I wanted, basically. But I want to bring on a player who I've sparingly, even though you should have, and think you're going to get a tune out of him. I think it's genuinely, like, just... How does Dean say? Asinine. but for real, like, Ten Hag to me seems like he's cracking. Like, he left the press conference yesterday after they asked a fair question. It might not be what you want to hear, but it's like, raw, like, you legit might end up, you know, finishing in a place that's, you know, the worst in United's Premier League history. How does that make you feel? You're not going to answer that, and you're just going to walk away. You're showing your ass to them, to me personally.
You know what? It's just a shame all around at that club. Because guess what? Ten Hag was right to take Garnacho off. I don't know that he dug him out after the game or anything like that. But you know, I would say the players, like, after something very passionate and intense happens in your life, like say playing a football game that you probably should have lost, but you got a result from, don't go on social media. Please don't go and be liking tweets and shit. Because now I'm wondering, is he going to do Garnacho like he did Sancho? Because I saw what Garnacho did on Twitter. He was liking some tweets that were not... He was liking Mark Goldbridge tweets. First off, Mark Goldbridge got hair and Erik ten Hag don't. That's an insult to your own manager. So start with that shit. Like, I know ten Hag is cracking up. I know he's not going to be there long. But guys got to stay together until the end, man. It's only six games. Just thug it out, guys. Thug it out.
I want to say something real quick. I'm going to have to go solo real fast to this. Frank De Boer questioned you, Erik ten Hag. If Frank De Boer is questioning you, listen, if Frank De Boer is questioning me, right, I'm going to the mosque on Friday. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm going to synagogue on Tuesday because clearly, spiritually, I'm not aligned if Frank De Boer is questioning what I'm doing in my job. And this is a man who Jose Mourinho, quote unquote, says the worst football manager in the world or ever, the worst Premier League. Yeah, no, I'm literally going to have to go to God and every spirit to ask, like, why is Frank De Boer questioning me? What have I done in my life that Frank De Boer thinks he has the divine right to question what I've done in my life? Because clearly I'm doing something that's not of God. And that's clearly why Frank De Boer is questioning me. So that's the first thing I would do. Second of all, I'll go to Turkey and go get new hair. That's all I would say. But anyways, that's about United.
Too late.
Crystal Palace, Eze as you like it. That was very nice. I was very happy they beat Liverpool. That made me smile. What do you guys think about that game, fellas?
Liverpool's finishing problems just came back to bite them again. But also, again, I'm saying this fully in the knowledge that, yes, I know my team fucked up today as well, but Liverpool concede so many really, like, good chances against teams that are not anywhere near as good as them. Well, maybe they are, and, you know, maybe I'm overrating Liverpool, I don't know. But Palace, Mateta alone could have scored a brace in that first half.
He's just an overgrown Lacazette. Like, he should have
been early. Yeah, for real. And then you look at... So here's the thing. You look at their actual front line. Nunez and Diaz and Salah on paper sounds really exciting, high energetic, you know, good ball strike and stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, only one of them truly is a bona fide goal scorer. The rest are, it's nice when you score kind of thing. Not a, oh, I expect you to score kind of thing. And I feel like, go on.
They got Jota back, Diogo Jota.
I know. And I want to get to
those guys. He's the best finisher of the bunch. So maybe he'll help them as far as being efficient moving forward. But you're generally right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like Jota's going to come into the team kind of thing. But again, I don't feel like it's a little bit of a João Felix situation there. Like, I'm not saying that he's a similar type of player, but I feel like Jota is much better when he's part of the supporting cast. He doesn't have as much responsibility. Like, Jota is great at that, you know, popping up of a goal when he's not the main man. Not like we're looking at you to be Salah. I don't think no one's going to be that. But again, you're not going to be the main man for Liverpool. Like, Jota won't be. And that's the thing. You've got three players in your front line. You're heavily relying on them to get you goals. You don't really get any goals from midfield because your midfield is something I'll save for another day, basically. But again, your front three for Liverpool in years gone by.
Yo.
The front three for Liverpool years gone by have always been the guys to bail you out. And right now, the one guy that can isn't. So, yeah, it's looking real, real quiet there.
Coach, indeed, I have a question for you. Do you guys know who missed the chance for
Liverpool?
Huh?
I have a question for you guys. Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
My question is, do you know who missed that chance for Liverpool in the second half?
What chance? There were a bunch of chances, bro.
No, it was a big one. They could have scored. Like, it was the main chance.
The Curtis Jones chance? The Curtis Jones one? The one-on-one?
Yeah. Curtis!
Yeah, that was bad. He missed. Yeah, that was bad, man. That was bad. Because I was just thinking to myself today that he should play more for them and that he's actually better than Szoboszlai and Endo. To me, I think he's just a better footballer. Then he misses that chance, and I guess I shouldn't have said that on this podcast.
you know what's so funny? This is probably going to invoke a bit of pain, but on the way to the game, like, we walked past so many pubs, and everybody was watching, literally, was watching. watching the game, like people were watching on their phones, walking up to the stadium, had a conversation with like 2-3 people watching the phone on the game on their phones. They were watching like people standing outside the pub and stuff, and everybody celebrated kind of thing. And it was just a nice moment. It was just, it genuinely was, at the time, it was such a nice moment, not knowing what shit was going to be served up in the next 90 minutes. But
hey, coach, overall, I got someone.
Go on.
Coach, I got someone for you to talk to. My name's Dr. Melfi. UBI.
No, get out of here, man. But, but for real, like, I think that fixture overall, that was probably the one fixture at home that I thought if Liverpool were going to drop points at home, it would be to Palace at home. They might win the rest of their games for the rest of the season, I don't know. But I feel like Palace at home was probably the one I looked at. I thought, you know what? I see something there, so I'm not particularly surprised. But I am very happy regardless.
Two things before we leave. Big shout out to Glasner. He's a really good manager. I'm glad that Chris Palace got him in. He's really good. And two, Dougie Freeman and his scouting team are just ridiculous. Like, Adam Wharton has impressed me so much since he's come to the league. I'm like, yo, this kid is very, very, very good. And seeing like a team like Crystal Palace having Eze, Wharton, and Olise makes me jealous. I'm like, how come I don't have that at home?
You don't have that. You don't.
You don't deserve that shit.
Like,
just... And the last thing that makes me happy is that we might have killed Liverpool's season. Our season is very bad. But the only thing they're going to walk away this season is probably the Conco Below Cup. And that makes me so happy. And I'm very, very happy.
You know, I think, yes, it would be disappointing for Liverpool fans if this is where the title race ends for them. But, and I know timing is a tricky thing, but I don't think they should be disappointed in this season. They had no right to be involved in the title race this season. Then when you add in, and that's before all the injuries, you know, because they basically built their midfield on the fly. Even though Klopp generally bypasses the midfield, they still had to do that. And they've been competitive. They've come back from so many, they've come back from so many goals conceded where they had to like snatch points from losing positions. They've had a good season and they won a cup, even though, you know, we're calling it the Conco Below Cup, you know. They won a cup. It counts.
Hey, Liverpool, because we're all going to hell. West Ham beat Fulham 2-0. Two former academy products from my team combined for the last goal. Andres Pereira got a brace. It will be an assist him on the second goal. Only thing I want to bring about that game is just academy talk, because I've seen a lot on the timeline lately. I think a lot of people forget what the whole point of an academy is, to develop actual professional football players. Sometimes you get lucky and you get talented players out your academy who end up becoming superstars. But overall, it's to develop pros. The fact that Andres Pereira is still balling in the Premier League is a great indictment of United's academy that, hey, this kid is here. Same thing with Arsenal. Will be still playing the high level, international footballer at that. So it's really nice to see these kids who did well in their academies, you know, killing it. I'm very, very happy for these kids. So, indeed. Yeah.
And speaking of academies, David Moyes tried to do some sneaky shit this week, and it turned out bad for everybody. I'm glad the kid is okay, but he brought on this young debutant for his Premier League debut when they were 2-0 down. I forget who he took off. Then this motherfucker gets into a collision with somebody on the other team and gets stretchered off with an oxygen mask and shit. So I know David Moyes brought that. David Moyes don't like no young players. He don't like no youthful strikers and shit. He brought that young motherfucker on to get these fans off his back because he just lost the game at home to Fulham. So it was like, let me bring a youth player on. And they'd be like, well, David is showing us some new things. Then the youth player almost fucking died on the pitch. You know,
You talking about George Earthy?
Yeah. Earthy over here is for the kind of woman I don't like dating.
Disgusting, please. Let's move on. The other game that I don't want to bring it up because the fellas are here, but Arsenal and Aston Villa. If you want to hear the, you know, go listen to the Arsenal pod.
That'd be me and Gabby going for 55 minutes on that. So I will leave the floor to Coach. Do your worst.
Well, a couple of things. I think I had one of those chances in the first half go in. We're talking about, oh, Arsenal are looking steely again this season. Simple fact is they didn't. And we got punished by a team that played on, 48 hours ago and literally 48 hours after us. There's no excuses for tiredness. We talk about our plan B. We also obviously have different ways of playing, but today we looked pretty toothless in that second half, and that was probably the most disappointing thing about everything. There's a lot of chatter about... Go on.
You were at the stadium.
Yeah.
You mentioned this is what Gabby and I talked about a lot on the pod. What changed in that second half exactly?
You know what's funny? Nothing actually changed. We just actually stopped well, something changed, obviously, but in terms of the way both teams played, the only thing that really changed for me is that Arsenal weren't as direct trying to get the ball forward. So we wasn't putting them on under as much pressure as quickly as possible. But clearly the players were, they felt the pressure. That's what it looked like. They actually, like, they were snatched. Even the chance in the first half, nobody looked convicted, there was any shooting with any conviction. That Saka chance that whistled past the post, that went in on Tuesday. Like, it's simple fact, it went in on Tuesday. It didn't go into there, and I feel like a little bit of it is the fact he snatched it. The Trossard one as well. Like, he ran through one-on-one last week and lobbed the goalkeeper, but this week, 6 yards out, he puts it to the only place where the goalkeeper is. Do you know what I mean? So, again, they snatched it. They looked a bit anxious, but I kind of want to talk a little bit about the second half, because a lot of talk about some of the players that Arteta brought in or whatever. Listen, Arteta's been battered from pillar to post for the fact he has his favourites. He doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. He relegated our two difference makers from last season to garbage minutes. Some of it was forced, some of it was unforced through injuries and whatnot. But the simple fact is, Gabby Jesus and Zinchenko haven't been a major part of our form this season at all. Like, the second half of the season, shall I say, they haven't been a major force. Like, we've been getting by with the same 13, 15 players and they haven't really been involved. You know, Jesus scored the opener, shall I say, against Forest, and then we didn't see him for literally 2 months. Kind of thing. Zinchenko, like, literally, we were talking about, people have been talking about, oh yeah, we don't want to see him again because Kiwi wasn't doing a good job, kind of thing. And then all of a sudden on Tuesday, he comes on in the second half after Kiwi had a stinker, and then it's like, oh wow, Zinchenko might be useful. And then again on Sunday, it's like, oh no, he's useless, kind of thing. Can you see the pattern? Can you see where I'm going with this, guys? Like, Arteta is using the squad like you begged him to. He's using the squad, and sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. Today, it was a shit show in that second half, if I'm being frank with you. I don't know if you watched the game, but from what I remember, like, we wasn't connecting. We wasn't actually connecting, and we didn't look convinced that we were going to do something today. Like, especially missing those chances in the first half, I felt as if, okay, Villa were just waiting for their chance, and they took it. That's the attack, basically. And Odegaard going off, to me, doesn't look positive, because Arteta literally never takes him off, especially with 10 minutes to go. What's the point? Do you know what I mean? He literally never takes him off. So that's a little bit of worry to me.
But that's not unusual, coach. I've seen Odegaard go off a lot. For a guy that wears the armband, he goes off a lot. Maybe it hasn't happened recently, but he goes off a lot. He needs to press.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, he might be fine for Wednesday. It is what it is.
He's fine.
But our defence itself, funnily enough, Ollie Watkins is a huge test. I know, disrespect to Haaland, but I feel like Saliba and Gabriel's biggest test this season have been and will be Sri Lanka and Watkins. And what Watkins is really good at is he's good at pulling centre backs far apart from each other, making sure that, you know, they come out to uncharted territory, if you like. But our centre backs are pretty good at that. But because you keep on doing it, they're out of position more and more, kind of thing. And by the time he gets his goal, it's Smith Rowe that's chasing him down, not one of our centre backs. So I think that was a counter from a corner, if I remember correctly. But even then, like, he clearly is an intelligent striker, and I feel like we probably need to look at, potentially, not saying we should get him, but looking at a striker that will consistently stretch defences. Because the way our centre-backs got dealt with today, I wouldn't say that he had a bad game, but there was clearly something that he spotted, you know, for real. Like, it was, that's what kind of worried me more than anything.
I don't know. I feel like you're over-indexing that. I don't see any, like, structural or individual issues.
It wasn't structural. I just feel like individual jewels, kind of thing. He was really,
There'll always be matchups. Like, there's no center back or center forward, for that matter, that's going to win every matchup against every kind of player. It's just not possible. And maybe you're right in that guys that play on the shoulder, that stretch you out, that make runs into the channels are difficult for our center backs. But guess what? That's difficult for every center back. There's no center back that's comfortable going away from the center of the pitch. So I don't know. But it was frustrating. It was frustrating. I think the turning moment was basically the Trossard chance. If that goes in, different game. It didn't go in. It was such a bad miss. I think people's head just kind of went down and they could never get it back. Because Villa didn't really change anything. They just seemed more intense after the half. And we were strangely subdued. And I don't know. I mean, you were at the stadium.
I think there's two elements to it, right? If Arsenal want to win anything, you have to accept that you're going to need luck. You're going to need to be lucky. Everyone needs it. City are going to need luck, kind of thing. The luck that they got today was that two teams that challenged for the title both lost today. So that's luck going in their favor, right? But for us, it's about bravery and it's about bravery and accepting that you're going to have to suffer, kind of thing. I feel like the only thing that really supported me more than anything that second half was the fact that they didn't seem convinced. There was hesitation in a lot of the things that they were doing, and they wasn't brave. And it didn't seem like what we had seen from us this calendar year. They looked like a slightly different team to me. So yeah.
Yeah. Final point on the game from me, I would say Arteta should have changed it sooner. He waited too long. He always waits till the 65th minute to make his subs. It was clearly not working for the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of that second half. He should have done something sooner. You can't always be waiting.
Well, let's talk about the Premier League standings where it is right now. City are first with 73. Arsenal are second with 71. Liverpool also in third with 71. Villa are in fourth with 63. Tottenham are fifth with 60. And so Newcastle, they are also there in sixth with 50. And United stink. So that's all I got to say. Hopefully, you know, we're going to learn Conference League next year. So that's that. Fellas, it's been a fun episode. You guys, thank you so much. Any final thoughts when we get out of here?
Yes. Sorry, folks. We kept this one a little shorter because the French didn't really do much this weekend. You know how they are. They're lazy. and who wants to talk about Arsenal losing? Ugh, that was awful. But we gave you something, so you're welcome.
This week is Champions League, Europa League, Conference League, FA Cup on the weekend for some of us who are still in it. Ugh. But yeah, that's the football, man. It's going to be a lot more content for y'all. We're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
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 Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day. Hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.